गोपी जन वाला भागे वाला यशोर नंदना भज जनरंजन यशोर नंदना भज जनरंजन जमुना चिरावन चाय Jamuna Tira Vana Chai Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hai Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya. Jaya Goranitai, 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 Jaya Goranitai. Nitai Gaur Haribol, 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 Gaur Haribol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, Jaya Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Sarasvati Sri Srimad. This can be with founder Acharya Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitya Lila Prabhu Om Vishnu Fadis of Angry Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Premsa Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Girgabaran Kijai Shri Vajrabhumi Namanam Kijai Shri Navarit Mayapur Dam Kijai Shila Chal Jagannath Puridam Kijai, Ganga Mayi Kijai, Antipuna Mayi Kijai, Bhakti Devi Kijai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Kijai, Your Most Beautiful Lordship, Sri Shukmini Dwarkadish Kijai, Sri Shukmini Dwarkanath Kijai, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Supadra Kijai, Sri Sri Gornitai Kijai, Samabeta Bhaktivinoda Kijai, Going Back to Home, Back to Godhead Kijai, ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra Kijai, Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai, International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Kijai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Glory Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarathim Vyasam. Tato Jayamutirayat. We're reading Krishna book, but it is part of the Bhagavatam, so we'll still recite that. Okay. Now, Srila Prabhupada's gift to the world is his literary legacy. the books that he left behind. And it could be argued that this Krishna book is the cream of the crop. Maybe Bhagavad Gita, yes. Bhagavad Gita sets the foundation. But Srila Prabhupada came to the West to destroy Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, right? The impersonalism and voidism, and to establish God is a person, and not just God, but Krishna is the supreme, not just the general term God. As you know, he disregarded the suggestion that a society be named International Society for God Consciousness as Krishna. So this Krishna book that Prabhupada gave us is a translation of the 10th canto, but with his commentary woven into it. So I would say when I joined in 73, the big set was already in existence, the silver set, and I dove right in. Wonderful. We used to, every night, where's Brigo? He was there. Every night it was one of the regular principles that after the last RT, the brahmacharis would get together and have cookies, milk, and Krishna book. So we were weaned on Krishna book. So today we're going to start with the second chapter. It's on the board. Prayers by demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. Let me just call it up on my device here. Okay. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties, and the kingdom of Shurasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demoniac kings as follows: the demon Pralamba, demon Bakka, demon Chanura, demon Trinavarta, demon Aghasura, demon Mushtika, demon Arishta, demon Dravida, demon Putana, demon Keshi, and demon Dainuka. At that time, Jarasandha was the king of Magadha province, known at present as Bihar state. Thus, by his diplomatic policy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Banasura and Bhomasura until he was the strongest. Then he began to behave most inimically toward the Yadu dynasty into which Krishna was to take his birth. So, there's not a lot of detail of how these alliances took place, but at least not in Prabhupada's books, but in the Gaura Samhita, there's vivid description of how Kamsa, he didn't just go to these other demons and say, please be my friend. He actually subdued them physically. There's descriptions of fights that he had where they rose 800 miles up into the sky fighting each other. But he was so powerful that he subdued many of them directly, and the rest wisely decided to be his friend rather than fight against him. So here it's mentioned repeatedly, demon. So somebody reading this book, or any of Prabhupada's books, or any of the Vedic literature, and they hear this word demon, asura. What does that mean? What is an asura? How do we define an asura? What, you know, generally people, when you hear demon, you conjure up pictures, long fangs, and, you know, copper red eyes. But is that what really makes a demon? So Prabhupada quoted one verse that gives a general definition of what is a demon. Dvaubhuta sarga lokesmin deva sura evacha Vishnu bhakti bhavadhaiva asura yadvipharyaya. This is a general understanding of who is a sura, demigod, and who is a demon. So it says, Dvaubhuta sarga lokesmin. You can search all over this universe, and there are only really two classes of individuals, deva and asura. So how do you tell the difference? Vishnu bhakti bhavadhaiva. Those who are godly, God-conscious, followers of the Supreme Lord. Here it's mentioned Vishnu. Vishnu, Bhakti, Bhavedhaiva. Then you're considered to be a deva or a demigod, a godly person. Asurya Yadvipharyaya. Then anyone who's not a devotee of God, who's not God-conscious, then they're automatically classified as a demon. Doesn't matter how nicely they dress and how often they say, hi, how are you, good morning. It doesn't matter. If they're not devotees of the Lord, and they're demons. Sometimes even devotees get, young devotees get confused about this. But they're so nice people. They always say, hi, how are you, and this and that. If they're not devotees of God, they're not godly, then they're classified as demons. And we have so much example of this. I've given this example many times, that in New York, when they had that first major blackout, when the entire city went black, a lot of crime was committed in the darkness. And it wasn't just those, you know, cholos, those weird guys on the street that are always looking to commit crimes. A lot of three-piece suited, tied guys, they took the opportunity. They were alone with some woman and they raped her or something. Something like that. So it's not just, you can't judge by external appearance. this person dresses very nicely and they speak very nicely. The material energy, Maya, is very expert at turning up the heat so that the nicest looking person, how many times have you heard person, oh, I never imagined that he was like that or she was like that. I never imagined they could have done something like that. Yeah, but you should know, we should know, if we know this philosophy, that if somebody's not a devotee of Krishna or trying to become, then they're classified as a demon. So all these demons here, their big qualification is that they're anti-Krishna. That's what makes them demons. And Krishna spends the majority of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explaining what is a demon. How do you recognize a demon, demoniac tendencies, so we can actually see them in ourselves also. So what is the main thing? Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana navidu asura na socham na pichacharya na satyam teshu bijate. This is the beginning of how you understand who's a demon. Right? They don't know what is to be done and what is to be done. And they don't care to know if you try to tell them. In your human form of life, you should really spend your time trying to become God. I have too many things going on. They don't want to know. So if somebody doesn't know, in every circumstance, what to do and what not to do, demoniac tendency. Right? Then, they're not clean. Nasocham. They don't behave properly. No, achara is not there. Achara and prachara. Before you can preach, you have to learn how to behave properly. Achara, prachara. Nasocham, napichach. Nasatyam. They don't tell the truth. When it's convenient, they may be, but as soon as it's not convenient to tell the truth, truth goes out the window. So this is how we can recognize who's in the demon camp, and we can see those tendencies in ourselves and really try to get rid of them. So if we're not being always honest, we should try to be honest. If we're not always clean internally, externally, we should up the cleanliness game. And in every circumstance, if we're hearing clearly from the scriptures, we should know what we should do and what we should not do. Okay, so now we've established who we're dealing with here. These demons are in that camp. And ultimately, Krishna says in the 16th chapter, just a general understanding, Ishwaraham aham bogi, siddoham balavan sukhi. You can really summarize the whole demonic mentality in that one phrase. Ishwara aham. I am the controller. Aham bogi. I am the enjoyer here. You have to do things that satisfy me. Siddoham. I am perfect. Don't you dare criticize me. Siddoham. Balavan. I'm very powerful. Sukhi. And therefore I'm happy. And I can make you happy if you ally yourself with me. So this is what Kamsa's mentality is. He wants to be the controller of everything and everyone. All the other demons and all the other dynasties that exist, he wants to control them. And he wants to enjoy the whole situation. And as soon as something is not enjoyable, like here, he's taking his sister home after a marriage, and he hears the omen that he's the eighth child of this sister is going to kill you, then he immediately wants to kill her like that. Everything centers around me. That's the demoniac mentality. So continuing. Being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchalas, and the states known as Kekaya, Shalva, Vidharbha, Nishada, Videha, and Kosala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Yadu kingdom, as well as the Bhoja and Andaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at that time as Paratavarsha. So Kamsa is a descendant of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, demons of all time. Who's that? Who's his forefather? Hiranyakashipu. And his brother was? Hiranyaksha. And who were their parents? Who's the father? Kashyapa Muni. And the mother? Diti. So, Kashyapa Muni also had another wife who was the sister of Diti, and her name was Aditi. And she gave birth to the demigods. So the demigods and the demons are cousin brothers. And as I've always said, if you trace out your lineage anyway, materially, your father, his father, his father, you go back all the way to Lord Brahma. So it's very evident in this story. Kangsa, Kalanami, Hiranyakashipu, Kashyapa, back to Brahma. Very clear. So all of us then are related. Not just that the demons are related to the demigods, all of us are related on the material side, all the way back to Brahma as the forefather. That's why he's known as Pitamaha. And if you trace your lineage out spiritually, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, like that, you go all the way back to Lord Brahma. And within the universe, Lord Brahma. So any way you trace out your lineage, your heritage, you go back to Lord Brahma. So we're all related. So why can't we get along? Why can't the demons get along with the demigods? Again, because we've come here to more or less be little Kamsas. Take up this mentality of Ishwar Ahang Bogi, Siddha Ham Balavansuki. Every one of us wants to be the controller, the enjoyer. We want to be happy on our terms, not happiness by following Krishna consciousness, as Krishna suggests in the Bhagavad Gita. No, we want to make our own terms. And because of this, we clash with each other. The demons clash with each other. The so-called godly clash with each other. Everybody clashes with each other. And therefore, we simply make each other's lives miserable. So Krishna says, give up all of that. Give up all this attempt to be the controller, the enjoyer, and surrender to me. So, when Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed with both jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the Yadus, who were fearful due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of Yogamaya, his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, Jagannath, Lord of the universe. But he is especially the Lord of the Yadu dynasty. So, remember when Prabhupada was in Bhubaneswar, and he had that meeting with the pandas from Puri, because they didn't want to let the Western devotees into the temple. So Prabhupada reminded them that he's not Purinath, he's Jagannath. He's Lord of the whole universe. So, Krishna is that Jagannath, or Jagannath is Krishna, vice versa. And now he's going to appear. We're building up to his appearance on Tuesday. Now we may say, well, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. You guys say, yeah, but the prophet explains, it's like when there's noon here, very next second there's noon somewhere else, and noon keeps traveling around the whole globe. It's not that there's only one noon or one midnight. It keeps traveling. So similarly, Krishna's roadshow travels like that. 5,000 years ago, he was visible on this planet. And the very next moment after leave, it becomes Janmasthami somewhere else, throughout the universe. So it's always going on. Yogamaya is the principal potency of the personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multi-potencies, parasi, shakti, vividavya, shuryate. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally. And Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies. The Lord ordered the appearance of Yogamaya in the land of Vrajabhumi, in Vrindavan, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudeva, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. Some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. So again, the demons, they're always engaged in horrible works, ugra karma, that are unbeneficial. And therefore, ultimately, everybody becomes fearful. Just like now, we have so many demoniac leaders around the world who are in possession of nuclear weapons. And we have to be afraid at any moment. Any one of them could. I read an article recently, because along with the big missiles that they have buried in silos that they shoot off on rockets, there are also portable nuclear devices that they can carry around in suitcases. And I read an article recently that in Russia, there are quite a few of those suitcase nuclear devices missing. They can't account for them. This is serious business. That means somebody somewhere is in possession of a nuclear device in a little suitcase that people are just not aware of. The government is not aware of. So if this person goes rogue, they can... Yeah, I did. Uh-huh, you're right. Before the paragraph when David became pregnant. Let's back up. When Kongsi was killing the six babies of Devaki and Vasudeva, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kongsi approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities, but all of them became worshippers of Kongsi. So this killing of babies, unfortunately, is always going on by the demoniac class of men. Either they kill them in the womb, or they kill them because they're just not convenient to have around. Recently in the news, some boyfriend of some girl who had a child, the child was screaming all the time. 2-3-year-old child killed her, like that. Or people neglectfully or willfully leave their children in hot cars during the summer and they die. Demoniac mentality. People are just not... And this is what happens. When you allow the demoniac nature to take over, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's practically no end. There's no one that you can't kill for your purposes. There's no one that you can't insult or whatever. You know, it's just... So Krishna says in the end of that 16th chapter that give up this demoniac. He says, Arjuna, you don't have to worry. You're in the godly class. But to the rest of us, through Arjuna, his warning, don't even play with... It's like playing with fire. There's no such thing as a good little bit of fire that's burning in your house. You have to know. You have to be aware of it and put it out. So similarly, Prabhupada said, debt, fire, and disease. These three things, don't play with. If you have some debts, take care of them immediately. Otherwise, they mushroom. If you have some disease, take care of it. Otherwise, again, it can blow up into something very major, up to and including death. And fire, similarly. So the demoniac mentality, as we described, as Krishna describes in the 16th chapter, is not to be played with. If we see any tendency, any residual effects of this demoniac mentality in our personality, we should try to get rid of it. And this is the power and the potency of the Krishna consciousness movement, is that persons who are demonically inclined, if they just agree to follow the bhakti principles, especially chanting Hare Krishna, it will eventually eradicate all demoniac tendencies. And even though there are different classes, there are the dyed-in-the-wool demons who just hate Krishna consciousness, hate God consciousness, anything to do with God, and they run away or they attack. And then there's the innocent, just like last night we were out on Third Street Promenade chanting. And you can see right away, you can the distinction. From a distance, they hear the Hare Krishna. Or they start dancing. And they can't help it. I have some pictures, and I put up a video last night. There's so many of them. Just as soon as they hear Hare Krishna, they start dancing. And they want to chant along. And lately, we've been putting out a little donation box in front of the chanting party. And they come over, and then just spontaneously, they put money in. So these people have begun their journey back to home, back to Godhead. Even though it may not be externally obvious. So... Where are we now? The Lord thus informed Yogamaya, under the imprisonment, quote, under the imprisonment of Kamsa are Devaki and Vasudeva. And at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange a transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, and you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. So just as here Krishna is ordering Yogamaya and she immediately does whatever Krishna says, no arguments. So similarly, Prabhupada said we should be ready to carry out Krishna's order at every moment. Now, one may say, well, if Krishna comes before me and gives me an order, I will certainly carry it out. But Prabhupada said, no. You have to carry out the order of Krishna's representative. Just as with the government. It's not that Donald Trump, who's our current president, has to go to every soldier in the army and say, do this. No, he gives an order, and then the generals take it up, and then they pass the order down the line, and then the order has to be executed. And if you don't execute it, then you can be court-martialed. So, quote, Krishna speaking, since you will appear as my contemporary sister, and since you will quickly satisfy desires for sense gratification, People within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. People who are after materialistic perfection will worship you under the different forms of your expansions, which will be named Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. So in the West, it's not so prevalent that this demigod worship or demigoddess worship is not so prevalent. But in India, it still goes on. People, depending on where they grow up and family tradition, they grow up worshiping these different forms of the goddess. And as Krishna says here, she quickly satisfies material desires. So people take that as an indication, yeah, I have this desire, that desire, I worship this goddess and I get it, so why not? But ultimately, Krishna says they're foolish, because whatever the demigods or demigoddesses can give you, they're actually getting from me, and they cannot give it without my permission. So ultimately, you should worship me. And if you don't, if you worship demigods and demigoddesses, then the highest level of achievement you will get after this life is to go wherever they are. So if you worship Durga, you may go and reside with Durga. But ultimately, only Krishna can give liberation from the material entanglement. And therefore, ultimately, we should worship Krishna. Krishna and Yoga Maya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Veda culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds and thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshipper of the power, Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily. But anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya, quote, "My plenary expansion, Anantashesha, is within the womb of Devaki. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he will be known as Sankarsana and will be the source of all spiritual power or bala, by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Ananta, will be known after his appearance either as Sankarsana or as Balarama. Shri Balaram ki jai. In the Upanishad, it is stated, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala means not, Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarsana. Ananta or Shesha is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually, it is a display of the potency of Sankarsana. Balaram or Sankarsana is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is a representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. So, Prabhupada is pointing out here that ultimately we have to take shelter of Guru. Without the shelter of Guru, we cannot get the shelter of Lord Nityananda. Without that, we can't get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And how do we get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya? Yes, Nityananda, but if we really want to please Lord Chaitanya, answer is up on the wall, ceiling there. Jagai Madai. We have to go out and face the Jagai Madais of the world, try to interest them in chanting Hare Krishna, reading Krishna book, taking prasadam. This works. We don't have to reinvent or invent any new methods of spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada already gave us the perfect methodology. We just have to plug in. Go out and Harinam. Go out and distribute books. Go out and distribute prasadam. Last night I took one of the cookies, the prasadam cookies, from the Harinam party. I was going to taste it when I got home. But as I rounded the corner going to take the train, I came back a little early since I was giving class. I had to do a little reading. As I rounded the corner, 4th Street, to go get the train, there was a woman on the sidewalk begging. So I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, but I have a cookie. Would you like to take it? She says, yes. So I gave it to her. In the early days especially, but it's still relevant now, wherever we go, we should try to always have either prasadam or books or both, preferably. Because you never know. Krishna will always put you in a situation. I can't tell you how many times I've been put in a situation where I go, oh my God, if I only had a little pamphlet to give this person. So always keep some books in the car or the backpack or whatever you take with you whenever you go out. Because Krishna will inevitably put us in a situation where we can benefit somebody by giving them a book, giving them some prasadam. And if you don't have either, at least, again, we were trained in the early days, always say, can you say Hare Krishna? At the very least, nothing else you have to give, at least ask them, can you say Hare Krishna? And if they say, no, I can't say Hare Krishna, they said Hare Krishna. Or if they cover their ears, it's too late. It already went in. So we should not be shy about this. This is our mission. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant to try to make the public conscious of Krishna for their benefit. For their benefit. So we should always be in that mood of distributing Krishna consciousness, ultimately trying to get the whole world to chant Hare Krishna, because the world is in dire need of it. Without it, there is no hope. Without the Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada himself said it many, many times, without the Krishna consciousness movement, there is no hope for this world. They're all on a fast track to hell. Their desires are demoniac. They live their lives in a demoniac way. So the result is just going to be horrible. So we should take it very seriously. Prabhupada said, deliver your country. He actually said once, what is the use of being American if you can't do something wonderful? Americans are very, very proud of being always doing wonderful things. And they think they're the God's gift to the world. So yes, you can be God's gift to the world if you give God's gift, which is the Krishna consciousness movement. So if we should definitely take that very seriously. Janmashtami is coming up in a few days. So we should increase our meditation on Krishna. And automatically, if we increase our meditation on Krishna, we will want to give Krishna to others. Because meditation on Krishna is the highest form of existence, the highest platform of existence. It's full meditation. The gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, that's all they do is meditate on Krishna full time. Yes, they work. They're not lazy. They don't sit down. They're churning butter. They're cultivating the fields. They're managing the cows. They're always engaged in some form of activity. But the real activity is remembering Krishna. The real activity is remembering Krishna. Especially the gopis. That's why they're exalted as the highest worshippers of Krishna. And they don't want to forget Krishna even for a second. There's that nice verse, Atati yad bhavan anikannam chuti yugayate tvam apachitam. Says that Atati yad bhavan, every day anikannam, you go to the forest, Krishna. And when you do that, Atati yad bhavan anik chuti yugayate tvam apachitam. Chuti, a fraction of a second, becomes like a yuga. Chuti yugayate tvam. Tvam apashyatam. Pasha means to see. Apashya. We're not seeing you. Just a truti becomes like a... And how does that happen? That we're not seeing you for a fraction of a second because they're supposedly seeing Krishna at every moment. Why? Because we're given these eyelashes, these eyelids that blink. So for that fraction of a second, when they blink, we don't see you. And where did that come from? This foolish creator, they're talking about Lord Brahma, Jada, foolish, he's given us these eyelids that blink for a second and then we don't see you. When you come back, when you're gone through the daytime, a truti is like a yuga. And then when you come back and we can see you, then this foolish creator has given us these eyelids that blink and for a fraction of a second again we don't see you. So this is the meditation of the gopis. We cannot imitate them, but we should try to increase gradually more and more and more our meditation on Krishna by hearing about Him, chanting about Him, glorifying Him constantly, serving Him, always seeing service opportunities wherever we look. There's always opportunity to do more and more and more. Whatever service we've been given, yes, we do that, but we can, beyond that, do more, always more and more, increase, or increase the quality of the service. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased, and when we please Krishna's representative, then Krishna becomes pleased. So we'll stop here. Tomorrow, Sunday, we will have the regular Prabhupada class in the morning. Then in the evening, His Holiness Prabhupada Maharaj will give the Sunday feast lecture. Then He will stay to give the Monday morning class. So He will pick up where I've left off. We'll continue with the Krishna book reading on Monday. Maybe there's time for one question or comment. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Goes to the next.
No.
Yeah, no. Like I was on the Warp Tour. The Warp Tour finishes in one location, and then that day it packs up and it moves to the next location.
But that's not the way Krishna's roadshow works. Prabhupada says, Janmashtami, you're celebrating now. The very next moment, there's Janmashtami somewhere else. It's not that he comes here, he has to do his entire pastimes here, and then he packs up and goes to the next place. No, it's constantly going on. He appears here. Or he appeared here 5,000 years ago, and the very next second he appeared somewhere else, somewhere else, somewhere else. So it's just like the sun is always there. And by your vision, because you're in motion, then you don't see the sun. At night, especially, you don't see the sun, but it's there. Someone else is seeing the sun fully. It's noon somewhere else. So similarly like that, the roadshow, Krishna's roadshow, he appears here, then the very next moment somewhere else, somewhere else. It's just constantly going on. Okay, Granth Sahib, Krishna Book Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Thursday, friend says.